I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning in the book of Genesis, in the chapter 46. Immediately after our service this morning, we meet around the Lord's table to remember the Lord's death until he come, and we invite God's people to come and gather with us indeed. Genesis chapter 46, a few verses from this passage of God's word. And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones, and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seeds with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. These are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Let's keep our Bibles open and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. Pray that thou will bless our meditation upon it. Lord, may this be special today and speak to afresh to our hearts. And Lord, just use this, thy precious word and the message that thou hast given to us for thine honor and for thy glory. Turn many eyes to the Savior today. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. When we come to the end of the 45th chapter, we find that Jacob knows and hears the reality that Joseph is still alive. You can imagine when it says in verse number 25 of chapter 45, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. What a meeting that must have been. They had been away from their father. His beloved Benjamin was away. He thought that Joseph was dead, and the rest of the brethren, they were gone down into Egypt, and Jacob, their father, didn't know what was happening until once again he sees them approach. And as they come back, they tell Jacob about Joseph. Their message is all about Joseph. Now, the Bible tells us that whenever they heard there, verse 26, and he told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, but he's governor over all the land of Egypt. And it says, and Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And I want you to notice the reaction here of this old man as he hears that Joseph is alive and he's governor over Egypt. It says that his heart fainted. In other words, he was stunned beyond belief. Actually, the word there, his heart fainted, means his heart stopped. And I'm sure there are times that whenever in your life just something happens and it just comes and it hits you in a moment, it just seems as if your heart has stopped. It's ironic, you know, that Jacob believed the report about Joseph in the past. Whenever the brothers brought him back the coat which was covered in blood, Jacob the father believed the report whenever he believed that Joseph was dead. Go back to chapter 37. It tells us there in chapter 37 in verses 34 and 35, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Why? Because immediately he heard that news and he saw that coat. He believed their report. If you turn to chapter 42 of the same book of Genesis, and the verse number 38, it says, And he said, my son shall not go down with you. In other words, they were wanting Benjamin to go with them. And he says, my son Benjamin will not go down with you, for his brother is dead. He believed the report, the evil news, that his sons wanted him to believe that Joseph was dead, and therefore there was no hope for him of ever meeting a Joseph again. And so he had buried, as it were, his hope of ever meeting Joseph, and he had buried Joseph out of his mind. It says here in chapter 45, his heart fainted because he believed them not. So like every one of us, so quickly we are to believe bad news about somebody. Mind you, we're not so quick as to take the good news. Somebody's giving a good report about somebody. I can assure you there's not many listeners, but you give a bad report and you'll have plenty of ears to listen. You know, it reminds me on the Easter morning whenever Mary gave the news that Jesus Christ had been raised, that she had seen the Master, and the disciples, they believed her not. Yes, the Lord had said so many times that he would rise again, that he must die, but they believed her not. And so we find that the Bible says that his heart fainted, or his heart stopped. He was stunned because he believed them not. And then it says in verse 27, they told him all the words of Joseph. In other words, whilst they weren't believed, they kept on speaking about the words of Joseph. And I'll tell you, whenever he heard about the words, because the words of Joseph, God was over and over again mentioned. God was in the very center of Joseph's story. And I can tell you, he believed because he knew that wasn't the words of his sons, his other sons. Whenever they talked about God, because God had been pushed to the side by them. But they spoke all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And whenever he heard those words, he knew that these had to be the words of Joseph. These certainly weren't the words of Reuben or the words of Judah or the words of Simeon. These had to be the words of Joseph. Who had God in the midst but Joseph in his conversation? Let me ask you this. Does the world know that God's in the midst of our conversation? Or are we ashamed of the Lord that we profess to love? But you know, the amazing thing is this. It says here, they told him all the words. And look at verse 27. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And is it not amazing, friend, that the words, in actual fact, weren't assurance enough? It wasn't until they saw the wagons. And my, when they saw the wagons and heard the words, my, then he believed. He really believed them. And is that not like you and me as well? We want tangible things, you know, before we really will believe it. We want to see it. What do we say? Seeing is believing. And whilst they brought the words of Joseph, and he knew they certainly weren't the words of his other sons, yet when he saw the wagons, it says, when he saw the wagons, those tangible things in front of his eyes, and they said, Joseph have sent these wagons to bring you down into Egypt. And it says, when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Joseph or Jacob revived. It revived. Now, the word there for revived, his spirit revived, it describes dying embers that are reignited. They begin to light up afresh. And they saw the wagons. His spirit revived, and he said this, verse 28, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. Yes, he now believes it. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go to see him. And I will go to see him before I die. Sometimes whenever we get a word from the Lord, it stuns us too. Sometimes whenever God gives that word, we find it hard just to take it in. But thank God there's power in the word of God. And the power of God's word, it revives us. It revives us. Sometimes God's word's hard for us to understand. Maybe sometimes God's word scares us to take that step, the next step ahead. I want to tell you, God's word, whenever we believe it, thank God, it encourages, it revives us, it lights the fire again. And that's what we need across this province, friend. We need the word of God to revive us again. We need the stirring of God again. We need to light the fires of evangelism again in this land. What does it say concerning the children of Israel? They entered not in because of unbelief. One of Dr. Pacey's famous statements is, you're filled with roast beef and unbelief. And friends, let me tell you, sometimes God's people, God's word's just not enough. They're looking for something more. And whenever Jacob saw even this man of faith, when Jacob saw the wagons, he believed. He knew these couldn't be of his own sons. They had to be sent. He said, listen, Father, Joseph has sent these wagons to bring you down to him. He wants to meet you. He wants to see you. And the word of God says that he was revived. He was revived. He says, it's enough. Don't hear any more. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go to see him before I die. So as we move here from the 45th chapter, we move into chapter 46. And friend, I want you to notice the reaction of Jacob to God's revelation. And the first thing I want you to notice in this critical moment in Jacob's life, I want you to notice his speech. He believes the word of God, and he makes a decision. He says, I will go and see him before I die. Let me tell you, dear unsaved person in this meeting this morning, you need to meet Jesus before you die. You need to meet him in salvation. Because meet the Lord Jesus you will, but if you do not meet him in grace and in time, you will meet him at the judgment, to be cast out from his presence forever into a Christless and lost eternity. You've got to meet him before you die. Well, when are you going to die? You don't know. The word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And Jacob is at a crossroads in life, friend. And thank God he gets a word from the Lord. Thank God he doesn't continue in unbelief. Thank God, if he had continued in unbelief, he'd have died in despair. But thank God he believed. He says it is enough. You know, sometimes God's people do get depressed and discouraged. I was just thinking about that, you know, when I was studying. Remember Moses? He came to the point of discouragement. In the book of Numbers, in the chapter 11 of the book of Numbers, you'll find Moses was discouraged. It says in verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned against them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Down to verse 14, and this is what Moses said, I am not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. Too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee. He'd rather that the Lord called him home than to go on anymore. And sometimes, friend, let me tell you, that's what happens in our lives. We can get down into a valley. Instead of taking God at his word and believing, let me tell you, whenever Jacob was spoken to by his sons, the Bible says that he believed not. And whenever he said, Joseph is alive, instead of rejoicing, we found that I was despairing, as it were. He was despairing because he believed not. His heart, as it were, stopped in unbelief. Do you remember Elijah after the great victory of Mount Carmel? He sits down under a juniper tree in 1 Kings chapter 19, and what did he say? He says, God, let me die. He didn't want to go on anymore. Jeremiah in the chapter 20 will find that Jeremiah was about to quit. The apostle Paul acknowledged this. He was often cast down. But thank God, he says, I'm not in despair. And friends, sometimes that's exactly what life does for us. Thank God he came to the place where he acknowledged, he says, my son is yet alive. Thank God that gave a blessed flame of hope. And we have a word from God today. You see this book. Thank God we have a word from God, friend, and you can take the promises of God and you can stand upon the promises of God and you can be sure that God will not break one of them. Not one. For the word of God is true. The word of God is true. Now notice what happened here. Coming to chapter 46. After a speech, I want you to notice his stopping. It says, Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. Now I want you to notice, here is the southernmost point in Canaan. He comes to Beersheba, and there the Bible says that he offers a sacrifice. In other words, he stops. Now, why does he stop? He's about to step out of Canaan, and he's about to go into Egypt, but he stops. And the Word of God tells us why he stops. He stops to offer sacrifices. He stops to worship God. And you know why he did that, friend? Because that sacrifice there was the way, and his worshiping was the way of acknowledging God and seeking God's guidance. He wanted God to show him what he was doing was God's will. Before he would take a step into Egypt, he wanted to know the guidance of the Lord, and the sacrifice was important because, listen, it is through the sacrifice that made it possible for Jacob to approach God. And so, friend, you and I approach God on the basis of the sacrifice. You and I can come, the veil, thank God, it has been rent from the top to the bottom, and you and I can come as priests unto God, and we can seek the face of God personally and individually. We don't need any earthly priest. There's a priesthood of every believer, every child of God, and you can come boldly to the throne of grace. And thank God we approach through the greatest sacrifice of all sacrifices. That's the Lord Jesus Christ who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's what this man Jacob did, friend, before leaving Canaan. Because let me tell you, when he was leaving Canaan, he was going out into a desert. And he's an old man, and before he goes out into that desert, this old man wants to know the clear mind of God. I have no doubts when he gathered everything together, this old man had many doubts in his mind and many fears in his heart. There was apprehension about the journey. And he wasn't willing to take it except he knew God wanted him to do it. For thank God he had learned, I can't step out of the will of God and prosper. And friend, that's a lesson for every one of us in this meeting this morning. You will not step outside of the will of God and prosper, child of God. Don't you think you'll step out of God's will? And expect God to put his blessing upon your life. Because let me tell you, it was when he had the assurance that this was the will of God, friend, that Jacob could no longer stop but go on. He was able to go on. But first of all, he must seek the face of God. And I'll tell you why. Because Abraham, Jacob's grandfather, had experienced much trouble when he went down to Egypt in the time of famine outside of the will of God. And he learned the lesson of a grandfather. And let me tell you something else. God had told his father not to go to Egypt. God has stopped him. And now he's taken a journey as an old man. And he's about to go out into that desert, and he wants to know that he's walking in the center of the will of God. He learned by the mistakes of others. Let me tell you, friend, that's a good lesson. Are you willing to learn by the mistakes of others? Or do you think that you're so much in control that you don't need to learn anything? You're just above learning anything because you know it already. And when you're making a decision, friend, where others have failed, it is right to earnestly seek the Lord about the right way. Because not only had he learned the mistakes of others, he had learned by his own mistakes. And sometimes that's hard for us to learn. By even the mistakes that we made. Do you remember whenever Jacob heard the news that Simeon was left in Egypt when the brothers returned from Egypt and Simeon was there, and they said, listen, send Benjamin, because Simeon's not coming home until Benjamin goes. You notice, friend, the reaction of Jacob. Jacob said, he's not going. You see, that was Jacob's will. But it wasn't God's. He's not going. His brother is dead and you're not taking Benjamin. It was as if I said, listen, Simeon can stay there, but you're not getting Benjamin. Did you notice when he made that decision, friend, he never asked God. Until God forced him. And Benjamin had to go. This time he's going to Egypt, friend, because Joseph is calling him to go. But friend, let me tell you this. He's not willing to go even to meet Joseph, the son that he loved, with all his heart. He was not willing to go to Egypt if it was outside the will of God. Because he learned a lesson. How many lessons, friend, has God to teach you and me? That the only place to be is in the center of God's will. For let me tell you, he sought God, he offered sacrifice. You see, God's honored when we seek him. Because God's word tells me that when we seek him, we'll find him. When we seek him with all our hearts. God won't deny you. When you seek him. With all your heart. You remember King Saul. King Saul, he couldn't wait on God. He wanted to be in control. Do you remember old Abraham? And God promised him a son. And in his son, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He would be the covenant son. But he couldn't wait on God. And Sarah says, listen, take Hagar. Ishmael was born. Started a war, friend, let me tell you, has never ended to this day. The seed of Ishmael and the seed of his beloved son, Isaac. George Mueller, Godly Mueller, said this, seek to have no will of your own so that you can honestly say you are willing to do the will of God. Can you honestly say that today? That you're willing to do the will of God. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane? He says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You see, whenever Jacob heard that Joseph was alive and he came to believe that, tell me, what was the human thing to do? He saw the wagons. He saw what Joseph had provided for the journey. The wagons, the provision for the journey. Well, it was a natural thing for Jacob to run to Joseph, jump into the wagons. Well, he couldn't jump in because he's an old man. But the natural thing was to get into the wagons and go, because he desired to see. I will go and see him before I die. And then he got into the wagons and he made his way to Beersheba. But before he left the land of promise, he stopped. And he offered a sacrifice. He says, God, is this your will? Friend, is that the way you live your life? How much do you ask God about your living? God, show me your will. You see, Jacob knew this. If God was not in this journey, he might meet Joseph. And in a moment, he could have an emotional joy of seeing his beloved Joseph. But Jacob had learned this lesson. That moment of joy would soon disappear. Trouble would soon follow. Do you remember what Moses said? Moses said he'd rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And Jacob now wants to know God's will. Because outside the will of God, he realizes that whilst he may have momentary joy, it will be enduring pain. Because he knows if he has got God's will, if he has got God's approval, then he'll have God's blessing. Do you want the will of God, friend? We read this morning in the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says this. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, mark this, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Friends, let me tell you, you've got to be willing to let your will die. Thy will be done. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And friend, you and I can get caught up with the excitement of the moment. We can get caught up with the emotions of the moment in our lives. But I'm saying to every young person, don't forget to seek God's guidance. Jacob had wasted many years when he depended on himself. But he's learned a lesson. And he offers the sacrifice. Notice not only his stopping and seeking, but notice his sacrificing. Because what do we learn by the sacrificing of Jacob here? Listen to me carefully. If we want to know the will of God, we must be willing to sacrifice. If you want to know the will of God, if you want to walk in the will of God, my friend, if you want to really say, thy will be done, friend, then you have to be willing to make sacrifice. Jacob was willing to sacrifice to know God's will. The Word of God tells me in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, we are to deny ourselves. That means sacrifice. Self-will is the biggest problems in many of the lives of God's people. Self-denial is something that many of God's children are not willing to walk or to do. What does it mean? It means to give up, to be willing to give up the desires of self. Maybe you have plans, young people, maybe you have plans for your life. Let me tell you, friend, you've got to be willing to put your all upon the altar for God, friend. And maybe those plans will bring you great honor and people will laud you and applaud you. And friend, God has a will for your life, and perhaps that will of your life is a life of reproach and people to despise you. I want to tell you, you'll never enjoy walking in your will. Your life will never be fulfilled walking in the center of your will. And so we find he's willing to make the sacrifice. I believe it says there he offered a sacrifice. And he was worshiping God and he was seeking God's guidance. But he was also willing to say, do this in that sacrifice. Lord, if you don't want me to go even to see Joseph, I'll not take a step further. I'll not go to Egypt. Friend, are you willing to do that? Listen, we sing the hymn, go through with God thy vows to pay thy life upon the altar. Boys, it's easy singing the hymns. And we can even sing them with great fervor and great gusto, friend. Let me tell you this. And then leave the house of God after singing those words. The price is high, severe the test. For those that will enjoy God's bless, surrender all and take the road with those that will go through with God. And then go out of God's house and do your own will. And you want God to put a stamp of approval. Lord, would you bless me? As I walk in the center of my will, Lord, would you bless me? Let me tell you, my friend. Don't mock God. Don't mock God. He was about to take a great journey. Listen, he was an old man. He was 130 years of age. And he's an old man. And he was going through a desert in the advanced age of life. He knew also the land of Egypt was a pagan place. Yes, Lot was willing to take his family to Sodom. And he paid an awful price. But notice, Jacob realized his responsibility. Because it says there in verse 5, Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives. And go down to verse number 6, and they took their cattle and their goods they had gotten in Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons' sons with him, his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. He realized that he was taken to a place of Egypt, a place with a worldly atmosphere. And friend, he could only take them there if that was the mind of God. If that was the will of God. Because he knew that if he was going there in the will of God, that God would look after the rest. You know, he also knew something else. He knew what God had prophesied about Egypt and the children of Israel. Go back to Genesis chapter 15. And in Genesis 15, in the verse number 13, and he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That's what God had prophesied. And now, Jacob's standing on the verge of this land where he would be a stranger, and for 400 years, they'd be afflicted. That's what God had prophesied to Abram concerning this land. And he knew that. But the hardship. Well, thank God, God gave him a promise to go. And that brings me very quickly to verse 2, and with this we'll finish. His sending of chapter 46. He raises the altar. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. And mark that too. As he stood at that altar, friend, And he was worshiping God and he was seeking God's guidance. You say, did God give it to him straight away? No, friend, he didn't. It says this, God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. He had to wait on God. And friend, that's another lesson you have to learn. If you want to do the will of God, you've got to wait on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Are you willing to wait to know God's will? Or are you just going to run on anyhow without the knowledge of God's will? Let me tell you this, friend. He had to wait on God, but God didn't disappoint him. And I'll guarantee you something. The God, the covenant God that we trust as his redeemed people, those who are saved this morning, the Lord will never disappoint you. He'll never let you down. And it says this, God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and he said unto him, Jacob, Jacob. You know, the double calling of his name, that was significant because it stressed the importance of the word that was to be given. You read God calling upon Abraham. You read about him calling Samuel, Samuel. You read about God in Exodus saying, Moses, Moses. So forth. Saul. Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why did he call twice? Because the importance of the message. In other words, the message that God was giving was of top priority. This is my will, says God, and my will is the top priority. And I'll tell you, whenever God shows you his will, friend, then you do well to listen and you do well to heed. Notice what he said in reply. Jacob, Jacob, he says, here am I. Here am I, Lord. What was he saying there, friend? He says, here am I, Lord. I'm ready to do whatever you want. I'm ready. Remember a wee man saying to me in the Mid-Ulster Hospital many years ago, in intensive care, and I went in to see him. And the Lord had saved him with the joy of leading him to Christ. And his Bible was sitting there in the bed. And I said, well, Willie, how are you? And these are the words he said to me. He says, Mr. McRae, I'm so happy. I just told the Lord this morning, if you want me to live, Lord, I'm happy to live. And if you want me to die, Lord, I'm happy to die. Lord, I'm just happy with your will. And friend, we read the scriptures, and in the middle of the reading of the scriptures, he started to take a gasp, and the nurses and the doctors just flung everyone and everyone aside, and they brought the machines and the rest of it, let me tell you. And in a few seconds, they came out and said, Mr. McRae, well, he's gone. And the last words he said, listen, Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing. I'm happy to live. I'm happy to die. I'm happy to do whatever God wants. Are you happy like that this morning? We sang the hymn, where he may lead me, I will go. For I've learned to trust him so. Do you really mean that, friend? Do you really mean that? Sweet will of God. Oh, the perfect will of God. Listen, is it the acceptable will of God to you? I'm not meaning, friend, listen, this is just what you wanted all the time. No, no, no. Is it acceptable, even though it's the hard road? Is that acceptable for you? Is that pleasing to your heart? That sweet, perfect will of God? And he said, here am I, Lord. Here am I. And God knew his heart was submissive. And God says, and we've got to just read this and finish. And God said, I'm God. Lovely to hear the Lord talking to you, friend, isn't it? He says, I'm God. the God of thy fathers. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make of thee a great nation. And then look at this, look. I will go down with thee. Isn't that lovely? I'm not only sending you down, but I'm going down with you. I'm going down with you to Egypt. Then he makes him a promise. I will also surely bring thee up again. And then it says this, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Do you know what that means? We'll come back to this. Do you know what that statement means? Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. The birthright heir. Joseph had the honor of whenever he closed his eyes or he came to the end of the journey. Joseph pulled down the eyelids as he went home to glory. I want to see Joseph. I want to see Joseph before I die. Oh, I trust this morning. I trust you want to know Jesus before you die. And whenever you come to die, thank God the greater Joseph, he'll be there. And Joseph shall put his hands upon your eyes. Close them. As you go home, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning that we have a lovely, wonderful, present Savior. We thank thee that when it comes to die, that our Savior will be there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Lord, I pray for any this morning that are not saved, and they haven't that assurance because they can't, because they're not ready. Please, Lord, don't let one in this congregation die a hopeless death. Save them now. In Jesus' name.